This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. And we have with us old blues singer from Alabama, black toothless, shoeless Raybone.
When did this turn into the Howard Stern show with people getting their own musical cues?
I got some very bad news for you. We were out on tour with the Raybone Band, and the van was stolen. But that's not the bad news. The bad news is it was full of Gilbert Gottfried merch. It's gone.
Now he can't sell it at the shows at Caroline's. He can't sell it in the lobby.
It was a tragedy.
Yes.
So let me get this right. He's black, he's blind, and he's shoeless.
And toothless.
And toothless.
That limits it to just a handful of really dedicated.
Who was that
you should know the blues.
That black, was it Mabel Waters or something?
Who? Ethel Waters?
No, there was a black actress who had her legs removed.
Oh, my God. You mean Mabel King from The Wiz?
May have been Mabel King. But
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
I remember she was going blind, and she had her legs amputated.
Well, you pick up the show every week.
And I remember her saying, the quote from her was, "I'm blessed." And I thought,
last week you brought us down with Gene Tierney's kid having rubella, and this week it's a legless actress.
I'm Googling
here's something.
Singer lost legs.
It might have been Mabel King.
I have to get some business out of the way.
Go ahead.
I was looking at my Twitter account, and one guy, I forget his name, and so if he's out there listening, he said if I want some old copies of Monster Times.
Oh, he's going to send you. Oh, I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
He's going to send you the Monster Times.
So I don't know your name or anything. Maybe you could send them to Nutmeg.
Sure, make Frank take your mail.
Yeah, in care of me.
Okay, you want old copies of the Monster Times from the 70s.
Yes, and if anyone's got those Pat Kraft.
The chick tracks?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are everywhere. You'll be inundated. You'll be sorry.
Yeah. So those and Monster Times, I guess, send it to Nutmeg.
Also, if anybody wants to send $20 bills, because I'm a collector.
Yeah.
Anyone that wants to send those to me.
Send Verderosa.
The Soupy Sales got fired for that, didn't he?
Go in your
father's wallet and get the...
Yeah, but it's 2018. Nothing matters anymore. We could just do this.
True.
Yeah, Soupy Sales, you know, yeah, he asked for kids to take that green paper.
Right.
And he goes, and you send that to me, and you know what I'll send back to you? A postcard from Puerto Rico.
Soupy got in a little hot water.
Yeah. Soupy will be mentioned in a forthcoming episode that we've already taped.
Yes, any Soupy reference. I just want to say two things quick in housekeeping. Thanks again to Steve Hanna, the artist who always does wonderful photoshops.
Oh, yeah.
He's did one of us for the Christmas story. He did that wonderful Thanksgiving Day table, the Norman Rockwell spoof for the zombies for Halloween. He has one on Twitter now, Willie and Gilly, with our guest, Willie Tyler. Look at the way he turns you into a puppet.
Yeah.
With a fave and the movable mouth. This guy has endless ability. Willie Tyler with a Gilbert ventriloquist dummy. Did you see this on Twitter?
No, I didn't see it.
So thank you, Steve Hanna. You are a brilliant. And I wanted to say a farewell, too, to Nick Meglin, the Mad Magazine editor, passed away.
Oh.
Did you know Nick? I know you would go up there and steal free mads.
I probably have met him and don't remember the name because I would go up there a lot.
Yeah. They talked about it. Believe me. Nick was at Mad for decades, 40-something years, and he was a very, very important part of the magazine, and a great guy, a funny guy, meant a lot to a lot of comedy writers, meant a lot to comedy, and passed away suddenly, and our condolences. He was good to me personally as well. So, the great Nick Meglin, look up his work. Shall we? Shall we pick up where we left off last time?
1968.
That's our show. Lost in the past.
Yeah.
We were talking about TV debuts from 1968, and we were stumping you. But in inimitable Gilbert Gottfried fashion,
yes,
you pulled out of your arse Journey to the Unknown.
Yes.
The show, the creepy anthology show with the roller coaster.
Yes.
Yeah, which was like nothing short of amazing.
Twilight Zone type show out of England.
Yes, indeed. Produced by Norman Lloyd, who was still with us.
Oh.
It's like 102, 103. Wouldn't do this show.
That's why we gave him a shout out.
Yeah, we give him a shout out.
Then some guy died recently.
Yeah.
And the name didn't ring a bell with me, but he was on Benson.
Oh, no, Robert Mandan died. From Soap.
Yes, yeah. From Soap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Mandan. I don't know how he pronounced it. He played the cad, the one that was married to Catherine Helmand.
Okay.
Yeah. And now I'm forgetting his name. One of the Tates, I guess.
Yeah.
Not one of the Campbells. Boy, that was a show ahead of its time. So,
yeah.
Yeah. If you had asked Billy Crystal when you hung out with him to do the podcast, we'd be sitting here talking about Soap with him. Well, why would that happen? We're going to try to stump you with some of these shows from 1968 because you actually did better than I expected last time. Two of these shows involve former podcast guests. How about that? So we have a theme song queued up for some of them and not for others. But Frank, I believe you have the first one here. Let's see if Gilbert knows this theme from 1968. Our listeners are screaming into their devices.
Oh, I
know it.
It's so familiar because it has... There were about 50 shows that had practically identical.
It's all the same studio musicians.
Yes, well, yes.
Dave Grusin, Billy Goldenberg, yeah. A lot of these guys. What do you think? You guessed name of the game last week. Will you surprise me?
Yeah.
When I gave you some hints.
And
what if I told you
yeah.
this was an action adventure series aired on ABC? It starred Malachi Throne. You know that actor?
Oh, Malachi Throne.
Ed Binns. You like Ed Binns?
Ed Binns, yes.
Fred Astaire.
Is this It Takes a Thief?
It Takes a Thief.
Yeah.
And Robert Wagner.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And in the movie, was it Cary Grant?
It was inspired by, though not based upon, Cary Grant and Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief. Yes. So there you go. Alexander Mundy.
But boy, they all had, that sounds like I Spy and a bunch of other of those shows. Yeah. They all had that.
Yeah.
I love the sound of it.
We have Mike Giacchino coming in, the Oscar-winning composer of The Incredibles
and Ratatouille
and other movies. Yeah. And we're going to talk about a lot of these guys. We're going to talk about John Williams and Jerry Goldsmith and Neil Hefti.
Henry Mancini.
And Henry Mancini.
Henry Mancini.
Peter Gunn.
Crappy sci-fi pictures.
I mean, he's got, I think, more Grammys than anybody. He's got 50 or 60 Grammys. Every time he did a movie, he'd get a Grammy again.
And of course, my favorite music is still, and Frank, if you're ready, the Hello There song.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he just happens to have it queued up. It's his ringtone. Ah. Should have been a 68 theme. Hello there. Your happiness will
grow, just say hello there. This is one of those moments that I cherish when we can look at each other right in the eye and say, on what other podcast are you going to hear?
No. The kids love Marty Allen.
Yes.
There is no podcast in the world, not only not talking about Marty Allen, but It Takes a Thief.
Yes.
Right.
And Alexander Mundy, created by television writer Roland Kibbe. It featured the adventures of a cat burglar and thief named Alexander Mundy, who steals to finance his life as a playboy and a sophisticate.
Did you mention Joseph Cotton? Joseph Cotton was also in that.
Joseph Cotton was in A Takes a Thief?
Yeah.
In what sense?
I think, well, I got a list of cast. Here's the cast I've got. Robert Wagner, Alexander Monday, Malachi Throne, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Joseph Cotton, Susan St. James as Charlie Brown.
Really? Well, who did Joseph Cotton play?
I don't know. Fernando Lamas.
Oh, you're reading a guest cast.
Oh, that must be.
These are not regulars.
Joseph Cotton.
Just reading names of people that were in episodes.
Joseph Cotton.
It's impressive, though, isn't it?
Is there anything more Paul than that?
That was perfect.
Joseph Cotton said in an interview when he was old, and why he doesn't work as much now, he says that the only parts he gets offered are old rich guys who are impotent and hire a young guy to impregnate their wife.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sick of that scenario.
Great in the abominable Dr. Fibes.
Paul, personally sick of it or just the concept?
Okay, here's one that I don't have music for, Gil. But let's see if you can guess this show. It was a live-action adventure serial produced by Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera, not Hanner.
Hanna-Barbera.
Filmed in Mexico. I bring it up because it was directed by future podcast guest Richard Donner. It starred Frank Alletter.
Yeah.
From It's About Time. He was one of the astronauts.
Oh.
He was married to Lee Merriweather. It also starred Jan Michael Vincent.
Oh.
And someone named Rockney Tarkington. It was a show called Danger Island. Do you know this show?
Wow. No.
Yep. Danger Island. All right.
You know what this reminds me of, though? Leslie, the professor's daughter, is one of the characters. Remember in those like 1950s black and white sci-fi films, there was always the old professor and his daughter.
The pretty daughter.
The pretty daughter.
Always the pretty daughter.
Who's interested in the detective who's coming to town to try to
there's
get
a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Superman did a lot of those old professors.
Yeah.
They were kidnapped by the syndicate because they had to reveal the formula.
Yeah, exactly.
The Superman had to say, Professor Pepperwinkle.
Oh, yeah.
Or Periwinkle. there's indeed a live action version of the animated Hanna-Barbera series, Johnny Quest. It was intended as a live action version of Johnny Quest.
Ah.
Depicted the adventures of a trio of explorers in an unnamed tropical island group with Professor Irwin Hayden, Lincoln Link Simmons, and they were joined on their quest by a sidekick, Chongo, who speaks only in a series of monkey like chatters and bird calls.
And that sounds great.
That would have been your part.
Yes.
another one that would get a fairly different reception now than it might have gotten
Speaking of podcasts, you know this show, a Western series from 1968? It lasted 1 year, and it starred Otis Young, the black actor from The Last Detail.
Oh,
a movie
okay.
And a former podcast guest, actually a future podcast guest, Don Murray. It was called The Outcasts.
Oh, geez.
It was sort of like the Defiant Ones.
Yeah.
Like a teaming a black guy and a white guy in the West, or I Spy in the West.
Now, Don Gordon, he went.
This is Don Murray.
Don Murray. Don Murray.
Don Murray.
Don
we didn't have
Murray.
Don Gordon on the show.
We should have.
We should have. He's gone.
Yeah. No, we did have Don Murray. Don Murray was great on the show.
Great. You didn't know this show? The Outcasts.
I got something on this.
he was talking about that.
Yes, he was a bounty hunter.
I should really pay attention.
You really should.
Interviews.
It's about a bounty hunter who teams up with a slave, and they have a love-hate relationship. What do you got, Ray?
Well, in 2016, there was a campaign to try to get it out on DVD. I don't know whether that was successful. But in Berkeley in 2014, somebody put together a weekend film festival of Don Murray, who in the 50s was as big a star as Paul Newman.
I don't know about that.
He starred alongside the likes of James Cagney, Eva Marie Saint, Henry Fonda, Charles Laughton, James Earl Jones. He wasn't in Funky Monkey, was he?
No.
He
wanted to be.
He was talking about that because he said he wanted to make like a statement.
Yeah, they gave him a choice. They gave Don Murray, and you'll hear this on a future episode, they gave Don Murray a choice of three series, ABC, and he picked the one. It was very responsible of him, very kind of him. He wanted black kids to have a cowboy hero on television. And so that was the one he wanted to do, socially conscious Don Murray. A good man. Here you go, Gil. This one has music. Mr. Verderosa. And it's a comedy. That's all I'll tell you. It debuted in 1968. See if you can get it.
Oh, oh. This would have to be Mayberry.
Yeah, Mayberry what?
RFD.
You got it.
Because I remember that music. They used to use that as interstitial music.
Yes.
Very good.
In the original Andy Griffith Show.
Very like, good.
And when the scene would start, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep. Not to be confused with the serious crime music that they played when Barney was on a case.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
We don't need an orchestra.
No. yes, it was a spinoff of the Andy Griffith Show, which when star Andy Griffith decided to leave the series, most of the supporting characters returned for the retitled program. Frances Bavier came back
before
she was eaten by her cats, I would assume.
Well,
we never confirmed.
She was eaten by her neighbor Morris cats.
Really? Yes. That's unfortunate.
It was a misunderstanding.
Was she displeased about this? It starred Ken Berry, former podcast guest.
Yes.
Ken Berry. He was great with us. Frances Bavier.
Yes.
George Goober Lindsay.
Oh, Goober. Goober.
Yeah.
Goober.
Theme song composed by Earl Hagen, who did a lot of television themes.
And I remember for a while, when Don Knotts left, they got Jack Burns as the deputy.
Yeah, and he was, and as much as I love Jack Burns, those were impossible shoes to fill.
Didn't work.
Yeah. Warren, I believe, was his character.
This show lasted until 1971. Now, I'm not familiar with this, but you guys probably are. The infamous rural purge in 1971.
Yeah.
Along with the Beverly Hillbillies, Hee Haw, Green Acres.
I think Fred Silverman was behind that.
And for some reason, the Ed Sullivan Show was listed here.
Was Fred Silverman the one behind the
CBS executive Fred Silverman?
There you go.
Thought they appealed only to people who lived in rural areas and to older people.
Right.
So he decided to cancel them, even though they were still hugely.
He got rid of all the hillbillies.
It's so funny though. When I used to watch those shows, I thought I was getting a peek into this middle America, southern all America.
Boy from Coney Island.
Down
the lot.
Yeah, there'd be Andy Griffith and Hee Haw and Mama's Family. And then you realize it's old Jews.
I didn't know Andy Griffith was Jewish.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Jews.
The people behind them.
Yeah. They'd be like typing out a script.
Sure.
Doing stuff that sounded like the way Gentiles would talk.
Well, Sheldon Leonard was behind the Andy Griffith Show.
Yes.
And a gentleman named Aaron Rubin, who I knew, who also created Gomer Pyle.
Did this ever make you yearn to go out and explore the heart of the country?
Yeah, no, I never thought that, but I thought I understood it.
Yeah,
but then, you know, it's just, you know, Jews writing all those shows.
I'm still trying to get off of Morris Katz.
What is that? Dara just came up with the idea of just whenever Gilbert goes on a Jewish bend, we could just bring up Yiddish Imamah.
Oh, there you go. That's a great idea. Thank you, Dara.
La Yiddish Imamah.
Who is that, Vic Damone? Hilarious.
They have a version.
NSYNC does a great version of this.
There's a version of My Yiddish Mama by Tom Jones.
Oh, my God.
He's not a Jew, but he sang My Yiddish Mama. Find that,
if
Frank.
You can find it.
Oh, did he find it?
Already found it.
Well, here's a song that I learned from my father.
His father was Welsh.
It's one entitled My Yiddish Mama.
You should sing it to the tune of Delilah.
My Yiddish Mama.
Oh, my God.
I miss her more than ever now.
That's great.
My Yiddish mama,
I long to kiss her wrinkled brow.
Now, what guest killed this? Do you remember?
Oh, the guy from The Sopranos.
Yep.
Yeah. And Dominic Chianese.
Billie Holiday sang My Yiddish Mama.
Why don't we do a future episode about Yiddish Mama? Dara, Gilbert has a Patreon request. He would like an episode about Yiddish Mama.
I think the Times Square tube may have recorded.
By the way, someone told me that Georgie Jessel was a lech. Do you know about this?
This wouldn't surprise me.
You might want to do a little. You might want to do a bit of research, or we'll put Raybone on the job. But I have some information.
Once I find the van, I can get back to you.
Some information has come to light.
Yes.
That Georgie Jessel might not have survived the Me Too era.
Yeah. This doesn't surprise me in the least.
All right. See if you can get this one, Smarty Pants. This is a crime drama that ran on ABC. It debuted in 1968, and it ran all the way to 1973. Our fans will get it instantly.
Oh, fuck.
The Big Show.
I know. This wasn't a superhero.
No.
No. This is killing me.
It was produced by Danny Thomas and Aaron Spelling. That's neither here nor there.
Was it the glass coffee table?
Yes, that's it.
You know what's fascinating about that theme? Also composed by Earl Hagen, who composed the Mayberry RFD
theme. All the same musicians on
completely
the
a world apart from the Mayberry RFD
I know
theme.
It was put out by Windex.
There's a Quincy Jones connection because his ex-wife was in it.
That
Peggy Lipton.
Oh, the Mod Squad.
Very good.
Oh my God! And was it Tyke Andrews?
Andrews. Yeah. Very good. Look at you, Michael Cole, Peggy Lipton, and Clarence Williams III.
What's Peggy Lipton doing now?
Well, we know what she was doing about
singing the national anthem at cockfights. Why are you asking me?
She was in Twin Peaks.
She was in Twin Peaks.
Was?
She was also in
Norma.
Recent one, the reboot.
She was Norma.
Okay.
Norma, the diner, the double R diner.
I was waiting for Paul to talk about her tea business.
Yes.
And what about, was it Dennis Cole or what?
Michael Cole.
Michael Cole.
Yeah, Michael Cole. Dennis Cole was a different guy. Dennis Cole was in the something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Cole.
What's Michael Cole doing now?
We could find him.
It's like whenever someone hasn't been around for a while, you know they've done a Law and Order.
Didn't you do Law and Order?
Twice.
That says it.
Now, the question.
What do you got on the mod squad?
Why did these cool mod people decide to go after crooks?
They were hip kids.
Yeah, they were also...
And they were like criminals themselves.
Pete stole a car.
Yeah, they were
Link was arrested during the Watts riots. And Julie ran away from her San Francisco prostitute mother.
Oh, my God.
That might have been a better show, actually.
She stayed
with her.
By the way, Clarence Williams III also showed up on Twin Peaks.
That's right.
As an FBI agent.
That's right.
One of Dale Cooper's bosses.
That's right.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Here you go, Gilly. This one co-starred two people you're fond of.
Okay.
And a former podcast guest.
Okay.
Podcast guests are everywhere. I do not have music for this because the name of the show is in the theme song and you would get it. But it was a sitcom. It aired on CBS from September 68 to January of 1970. And this came from Talent Associates, the company that made Get Smart. Let's see. You'll get it. It starred Bob Denver, Herb Edelman, and our friend Joyce Van Patten.
Oh, was it?
They ran a diner. It was called The Good Guys.
Yeah. Do you know, was just about to say, is the word guys in it?
You got it.
I didn't remember Good Guys, but I remembered guys popped into my mind.
Bob Denver was Rufus Butterworth, the driver of a customized 1924 Lincoln Turn Taxi.
Rufus Butterworth.
And Herb Edelman was Bert Grammus, or Grammus.
There was a guest star who played a health inspector. Do we know who that was?
Ooh.
Was Vincent, it somebody who's been on the show?
Vincent Price.
Oh, great.
Very good.
See, now those two.
There you go, Vincent Price and Bob Denver.
Oh, those two, Denver and Edelman, would have been like ideal podcast guests.
I know. The closest we could get was Dawn Wells and Joyce Van Patten.
Yes.
But they added Alan Hale Jr. to the cast, I believe in the second season when the ratings were skidding. Somebody at the network or one of the showrunners said, well, we'll just put the Skipper and Gilligan together again. And that'll be ratings gold.
When they reteamed Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner for an episode of T.J. Hooker.
Oh yeah,
where they're both cops.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big thing, taking people who were stars and reteaming them under other circumstances.
And it never quite worked most of the time. It was a disappointment.
Yeah. I remember Shatner and Adam West. Maybe I dreamt this. Maybe our listeners will know. in an Alexander the Great movie for TV. Does that ring any bells?
No.
They sound like that. I'd love to see the two of them together.
You'd put Shatner in a period piece, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Right. But I remember, the T.J. Hooker one was kind of fun to see them both together, Leonard Nimoy and him.
Yeah, speaking of T.J. Hooker, we should get James Darren in here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I met him at some event.
You met him at Chiller. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, still a handsome guy.
Yes, he is, and he was one of those Philly teen idols. Okay, so here's our last one, Verderoso. Last song, last theme song, and the last one that is going to stump Gil. I like to stump you again. I have stumped you once before when Richard Kind was here on this theme. This was on ABC, released through 20th Century Fox Television. It lasted 51 episodes, but it made its debut in 1968, September to be exact. Frank? One of your favorite composers.
Oh, that would be Neil Hefti?
Nope.
No.
Listen to those horns.
This wouldn't be Time Tunnel.
No, you're close, because it's the same creator.
Oh.
Irwin Allen. Composer is John Williams.
Oh,
John
my Williams. God. Ooh.
It's a show I loved as a kid.
Wasn't Journey a Million Miles Under the Sea or any other?
It's here in the ballpark. Land of the Giants.
Oh, okay.
An hour-long sci-fi series lasted two seasons, created and produced by Irwin Allen.
And I think at one point I even had a Land of the Giants Aurora model.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. But you didn't set fire to it like Kirk Hammett.
No. It was a big snake and, like, the little characters around it.
Starred Gary Conway, who's still with us. We should find some of these people. Don Matheson, the late Kurt Kasnar. Don Marshall and Deanna Lund, who was easy on the eyes, and Heather Young. The great John Williams composed that score, as he did for Lost in Space.
I think he was smart to get away from horns and move to strings.
I love that one.
I did some research, John Williams did Star Wars.
He's mocking you, Paul. he's pulling your chain.
What he doesn't know is John Williams was a member of our first band.
Really?
Yeah, and that's not well known, but that's where he learned.
What was the name of that blues band?
It was called the Raybone First Band.
The Raybone. The electric Raybone.
The electric Raybone.
Experience.
For you to allow a white man, and that was very progressive.
We went strictly on musical ability.
Yeah.
You know? Irwin Allen would have been an ideal guest for this show.
Oh my
boy, to tell you,
not only
the time tunnel and Lost in Space and Voyage to
all
the Bottom of the Sea,
all
those disaster movies. He would have been a dream guest for us.
I got a couple of good tidbits on Land of the Giants.
Quick, because we got to go home.
They set a new record for expense, $250,000 per episode.
Yeah, because they had all those. Yeah.
And they had all kinds of guest stars were people that were in Star Trek and Twilight Zone. I'm just going to read you quickly a list of names and see who you know.
Was Joseph Cotton in it?
Joseph, no, he was in the other one. He's tied up.
Oh, sorry.
Jack Albertson. Chris Alcade. Michael Ansara.
Oh, we love Michael Ansara. He was married to Barbara Eden.
John Carradine. Did we have a Carradine?
Carradine.
Yvonne Craig, Charles Drake, Alan Hale Jr.
Again with Alan Hale Jr.
Jonathan Harris, David Opetosu.
Sure.
Larry Pinnell and Warren Stevens.
Oh, somebody sent me, because I knew, like, you know, Martin Sheen and Jack Albertson, they were in...
The Incident?
No. They were in The Subject.
Oh, The Subject was Roses, yeah.
And then later on, they reteamed for Bracken's World.
Very good.
And the episode was called My Father Never Spanked Me.
Very good.
And so one of our listeners sent me a copy of this TV show. I think it was called Insights. Basically taught you about God. And it starred like an old Jewish man who's given up on life, Jack Albertson, and God in a white suit, Martin Sheen.
I used to confuse Jack Albertson with Arthur O'Connell.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're both in the Poseidon Adventure, speaking of Irwin Allen.
Well, I always confused Arthur O'Connell with Frank Ferguson.
Interesting. I always confused Gene Stapleton and Roscoe Lee Brown. Why? Couldn't tell you.
Must be time to go.
Paul, is there anything you've confused?
No, I'm not confused. I just don't know much.
He's the sharpest one in the room.
I always confuse Charlize Theron and Lionel Atwill Jr.
Right, and Rodney Allen Rippey.
Yes.
All right, guys. More fun I could not have.
This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
This you're hearing the Raybone Band, right?
Things I should be thankful for, I've had a goodly share. And as I sit in the comfort of a cozy chair, my fancy takes me to a humble east side tenement, 3 flights in the rear to where my childhood days were spent. It wasn't much like paradise, but amid the dirt and all, there sat the sweetest angel, one that I fondly call my Yiddish mama.
Is that Marlena Dietrich?
I need Sophie Tucker. Than ever now.
Sophie Tucker, of course.
Sophie Tucker.
My Yiddish mama.
We'll see you next week.
Okay.
I'd love to kiss that wrinkled brow.